We begin in the Arctic, a part of the world that's changing dramatically. And Brendan May is concerned that its development may have changed too far. He advises corporations on sustainability and is based in London.
If the bosses at Shell thought that things had gone a bit quiet after they delayed their Arctic programme last summer, they were soon corrected when Greenpeace climbed London's Shard building in protest at the company's deep water drilling plans. Shell isn't exactly stupid when it comes to future energy challenges. There are probably worse companies around. That's why its continued bungling over the Arctic, infamous not just amongst environmentalists, but noted by the Financial Times and other defiantly non-sandal-wearing institutions, is so bizarre. Shell doesn't understand that increasing numbers of citizens around the world refuse to tolerate its gamble into one of the last great pristine corners of the planet. Investors are none too thrilled either. A deep-sea drilling accident in the Arctic would make BP's Deepwater Horizon liabilities look like a tea party, and not a tea party of the Sarah Palin variety, despite the same Alaskan backdrop. Shell's arguments in favour of Arctic drilling have been pitiful and can be summarised and then demolished quite easily. First, says Shell, people have already drilled in the Arctic. Well, yes, but much of the drilling so far has been in vastly different conditions to those proposed by Shell. A helpful comparison might be to compare paddling in a kid's swimming pool with deep-sea diving in a rough ocean. Shell does have experience in the north, but there's a big difference between the north and the Arctic. Almost all of Shell's experience has been 1,000 kilometres further south than their planned wells. Sea ice conditions, which constitute one of the biggest risks to Arctic drilling projects, are very different and much less challenging in those waters. Nobody has successfully done what Shell is proposing to do on this scale in Alaska, and many scientists believe that the harsh conditions in the region make it simply impossible to do safely. Second, Shell argues, it's going to happen anyway, as the Russians will go ahead regardless. Now, it's true that Russian oil and gas companies seem determined to push ever further north, although how technically and commercially viable many of these proposed projects are remains unclear. And Russia hasn't exactly been a beacon of excellence in its own exploration efforts. There have been a series of environmental calamities and plenty of evidence of local populations literally having to wade through fields of spilt oil. Russia's recklessness on environmental issues doesn't provide a moral or commercial argument for Shell, which should know better. And unlike Shell, Russia doesn't advertise its sustainability credentials through greenwashing, print and television spots every day. Now Shell is exploring Arctic entry through the back door with its new pals Gazprom and Mr. Putin. It's hard really to see how a sustainability image could get much worse, other than hiring Gérard Depardieu as the face of it all. Another Shell favourite line is, it's much better that we do it because that way it will be done safely. This from a company that initially proposed an oil spill safety plan that involved sending a small Dachshund, yes one, to have a sniff about in the event of a problem. It was safety first Shell that managed to ground one of its ageing drilling barges off the coast of Alaska whilst trying to tow it to a more tax-efficient location in Washington state. Shell also managed to damage a containment dome during testing, and a fire broke out on its Noble Discoverer rig, leading to an investigation of 16 safety violations on board by the US Coast Guard. And despite repeated assurances that during the warm summer months, Shell wouldn't encounter any big ice, drilling last summer was abandoned almost immediately within hours because of a major ice floe appearing, bringing the madness to a temporary halt. I don't want these people anywhere near the Arctic's people or wildlife. Last is the tired old mantra from Shell, we need this oil. Yes, we need it in the way that an alcoholic needs an extremely large vodka and then another one. If we pursue so-called new sources of fossil fuels that will only come on stream in 15 to 20 years' time and are very expensive to extract, we assume everything that's available now and cheaply will be burnt. So we're betting on a completely unsafe world in climate terms. The only economic argument that makes Shell's Arctic lunacy commercially viable is a world completely unviable in terms of climate change and its impacts. The International Energy Agency says we need to leave two-thirds of fossil fuels in the ground to even have a shot at avoiding catastrophic climate change. If Shell hedges by saying, yes, but not me, not now, not here, they're betting against a safe climate for future generations, and we shouldn't let them. Shell has completely failed to engage with critics on this issue. Its emergency response plans and an idiotic preemptive lawsuit against NGOs have all combined to make Shell the perfect poster child for activists, again. Of course it's true that fossil fuels aren't going to disappear overnight. We have to accept that future energy demand will require a mix of solutions and technologies. But this doesn't mean we have to destroy the Arctic to provide that mix. The only way forward now is probably a bold market signal by business customers that they don't want their companies fueled by Shell's recklessness. There are many progressive business leaders out there who might jump at the chance to differentiate. So here's an idea: Arctic free fuel. Now, I've already heard a few people say that's completely impossible. Yes, and so is dolphin-safe tuna, deforestation-free palm oil, child labour-free cotton, pesticide-free food, and BPA-free baby gear. It's all just too difficult because of supply chains and how these things are produced and traded. Except, hang on, all those things already do exist. Indeed, some towns are now declaring that they will be tar sands-free municipalities. Oxford recently became the first tar-free city in Europe. Of course you can segregate fuel according to its source. If there's a will, there's a way. I well recall people saying you could never segregate palm oil. It was technically and commercially impossible. What they actually meant was they would never do it. And of course they did in the end, because the market demanded it. At present, there's just no will when it comes to the Arctic. And that provides a huge opportunity for business leaders to lead. So I'd like to see a progressive businessman like Sir Richard Branson develop an argument that runs like this. I run an airline. I do what I can to explore alternative fuels and designs to minimise our climate change impact. I take advice from the right people, but I accept that we are dependent on fossil fuels and we are a major contributor to climate change. But I'm also an explorer and a citizen, and I've seen some of the Earth's most beautiful and pristine places. The Arctic is one such place, and I cannot and will not add to the planet's fragility by running my business on the fruits of Arctic oil drilling. It's a step too far, and I believe that there are some parts of the natural world that we must now simply leave alone. That's why Virgin Atlantic will operate on Arctic free fuel for as long as I'm in charge. Now think of the market signal that that would send. Of course, this idea needs cross-sector collaborative approaches. No single company can do this alone. And it isn't just fuel, it's about the use of Arctic resources for a range of materials, such as plastics, clothing, and so on. But if a group of progressive chief executives from airlines, consumer goods firms, clothing companies, and packaging giants were to send out this Arctic-free fuel message, then the seemingly impossible would become a market imperative for energy companies. It's been done in many other sectors several times over. There is no perfect fossil fuel, and there will always be social and environmental issues around any oil extraction. But we can draw a line in the Arctic ice. We must do it without delay. The question for Shell is whether it could potentially be a beneficiary of such a trend, or a lonely laggard that failed to wake up to what its customer base was saying. Shell portrays itself as a buzzing hub of innovation, exploring the frontiers of new energy sources in a fast-changing world. In its stubborn refusal to abandon its Arctic misadventure, it confirms it is still, at its core, a fossil fuel-hungry dinosaur. The question is whether Shell will finally see sense and get out before it's too late.
Brendan May is head of the Robertsbridge Group in England, advising corporations on how to face the 21st century.